हरि ओम सहना ववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके पेज 35 वर्स 1-294 फ्रॉम चैप्टर 16 स्पॉन्टेनियस डिवोशनल सर्विस फर्दर डिस्क्राइब्ड. Remembering the Vrindavan form of Krishna and his dear associates who have inclinations for service similar to one's own, absorbing oneself in hearing topics related to them, one should always live in Vrindavan. Right? So this is how it's one's living in Vrindavan, is by hearing about those who are living in Vrindavan. Right? Because if you're on the transcendental platform, then it's the same kind of transcendental position. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Jiva Goswami. Now the method of Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti is described. If possible, one should live physically in the places where Krishna lived, such as Vrindavan. If one cannot do that, then the person should live there mentally. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Now starts the description of the method of Raghunuga Sadhana. One should remember the most dear form of Krishna, Preshtam Krishnam, right? So you see, it's that aspect of Krishna. What is the qualities of Braja Krishna? That's the point, right? Preshtam Krishnam, the son of Nanda of Kaishor age, and the devotees of that particular form of Krishna, Asya Janam, who have the same type of desires for serving Krishna as oneself, Nija Sami Hitam. Remembering such devotees, one should live in Braja. If possible, one should physically live in Vrindavan, the place where Krishna resided as Nanda's son. If one cannot do that, one should live there mentally. Right? So, that means is that by remembering Krishna in Vrindavan and his associates in Vrindavan, right, that's then how you live in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? It's not that I'm thinking I'm doing this in Vrindavan, I'm doing that in Vrindavan. No, that's not living in Vrindavan. That's living in your head. Makes sense? Yeah. And we all know our head's not a great place to be living, right? 1-295. Following after the inhabitants of Braja, one performs service in one's physical body and in one's siddha body with a desire for a particular bhava. So, right? So now we see that what he's mentioning here is one is that's the general point that's there. Right? So that aspect you can take further down. But this aspect can only be performed at the platform of bhava. Because one's siddha body, unless one has that, how do you work with it? You can't make it up. You understand? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Is one, you're remembering them. That's the beginning. So Raghunuga Sadhana can start down from that, because that's the generic point. Now this is the specific, but the specific means you have to have the items. Like, you can't say, I'm going to cook cauliflower sabji and I don't have cauliflowers. Right? So the point is you can't use your siddha deha if you don't have it. Right? Yes.
So how do we obtain that siddha
deha? By coming to the platform of bhava. It means it has to be liberated and free from material desires.
But then previously it's mentioned that we remember residents of Braj.
Yes.
General and specific.
Yes.
And then the service like our own. Yes. We don't have any like specific service.
No, the point is that's the thing is you're starting out from the generic and bringing it in as one's appreciating that. Does that make sense? No. Okay. We're starting with the Brajabasis, right? We're starting with pure devotional service. Then we're starting with the Brajabasis. And so that general mood that they have of service, then that's what we're doing. We're appreciating pure devotional service, so we're appreciating all Vaishnavas. Then we'll start to appreciate the uniqueness of the affection of the Brajabasis that they have for Krishna. Right? Then we'll start to see is that within that one might appreciate, as is pointed out, only because it's been pointed out, that the affection of the gopis have for Krishna, then that's even more special because of its exclusiveness, the intensity of its exclusiveness. So then we'll appreciate that. So we're dealing with all the pastimes, but we'll appreciate those. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then, if you find that there's a certain the kind of services that they're performing, that's interesting for you, then you might be thinking about them. But it's not by thinking about them that generates that. It's when you have that taste. Does that make sense? When you have a taste, you eat something, right? And by associating someone has that taste, then you may develop that taste. But it's not by eating that thing that develops the taste. Does that make sense? It's just like a kid doesn't like something, right? There's always something they don't like. So by eating it, it's not that they develop the taste. By associating with those who eat it, they develop the taste. And it's just like, let's say at home, okay? The kid's at home with the parents. And they don't like, let's say, tomatoes. Okay? So now, or at least they, like that. So now the problem comes up is that, who else is there to associate that likes potato? If the parents like, they're eating, they might catch it, but they may not. Right? But now let's say they're with friends, and all the friends are eating tomatoes and really appreciating it, then they'll kind of consider it, maybe try it.
Yeah. And then it takes another 10 years before.
Yeah, of course, but that's the whole point. It's sadhana. It's practice. It doesn't happen overnight, right?
Right. Yeah. It's good to even for the plain muri, the appreciation is so much because everybody is taking it.
Yeah, that's the point. Everybody's eating it. Everything's like that, so they'll do. And even if they'll eat it there, when they come home, then they won't eat it.
At least at home, I should be spared from this.
Yes. But there they eat it and they're happy and everything like that. But then in the home they could get it. Because there isn't anything else other than muri. So you eat the muri. But at home you don't like the muri, you'll get something else. So there is method to the madness there. Does that make sense? So we're talking on that because we're not. It's that we have an aversion to service, to surrender, and so because of that, it's only by associating with those who have an attitude of service that we can develop that attitude. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point was here. Now, if it comes to more specific, because if you're liberated, it becomes more obvious. So then it's easier to say that then therefore you follow those devotees who have that. Right? And then, at some point, when it comes to the point where one has one's spiritual form, then that spiritual form has the attributes. Then you can apply those in service. Right? But still, you're going to be assisting them. You're not going to be doing it yourself. It's not that suddenly because you feel like it, you walk in and you start bathing Radharani. No, the others are there bathing. You can go get the water. That's the way it works. It's already going on. No, but I really want to. I really want to bathe. Okay, so 1/10,000th of the tip of the hair really wants to bathe. Lalita Devi is Boo Devi, so that means she's the Samvit Shakti, or the Chit Shakti. And so therefore, she's basically unlimited. So unlimited wants to bathe Radharani. Who wins? right? We're people. We have to understand that we fit in. Because if it's a matter, no, I have to do it, then is it a mood of service? Then it's a matter, if I do it, then I'll enjoy. But if it's about Krishna's service, now wouldn't those who have that unlimited qualities, they would know more nuances on how to do that. So we can assist. Make sense? So that's the whole thing. So it's not the stare, it's fitting in. So that's why the mood of, so how are you going to fit into this scenario unless you're fully surrendered? Right? That's why we start with the Brajvasi's mood of 100% full surrender. With that, then you can do the other things. But just because you do, it doesn't mean you can. You know what I'm saying? If I come in and hand the kid, you know, the 5-year-old, the university book on quantum physics, now suddenly I come back, he's a physicist or something, you know?
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about Stewie here. Because without giving him the book, he already became that.
He become aerospace engineer by making rockets.
Yes, in aerospace. Yeah, he takes out the pages. And yes, yes. Or he drops it out the window, you know, watches it fall. You know. Like that. What's that? That was Da Vinci? Drop the thing off of Pisa. No. Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah. But you never saw the thing, you have the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and the person on top, and he's dropping something. Yeah, but I know that was Da Vinci.
And?
He figured something out from that. I think he figured out that whether you drop a cannonball or you drop a, you know, yeah, just a rock, they fall at the same speed.
That
was
Galileo.
Huh? That was Galileo. Okay. Somebody did it.
What did he figure out?
Huh?
What did he figure out by dropping?
That they fall at the same speed.
Gravity.
So it's not that because you're bigger, you fall quicker. It doesn't say the bigger you are, the quicker you fall. It says the bigger you are, the harder you fall. You know, you flick the bug, and when it hits the ground, it just keeps walking. Mm-hmm. I was probably walking in the air. What's going on? And then, oh, okay, here we go. Does that make sense? So, this is in line. Now, you can't take this out of the context. Remember a few verses before, they're saying when you are at the platform of Narta Nivriti means free from all material designations. One is liberated, you know, then they're saying that sadhana, this rag sadhana bhakti can begin. Does that make sense? So in that context, then we have to see this. So the siddha body means you have to be liberated. Right? You can do preliminaries before that of appreciating their service, but, and it follows what was just mentioned before that, is that remembering, absorbing himself and remembering the topics related to Krishna and the devotees, you're not involved at all. That will place you in Vrindavan. That will give you that position of being absorbed. And then as one goes forward in that, then one may come to the liberated platform where you have your spiritual form. Then you can use the spiritual form. But we have to remember, then you're dealing with the whole process of now, you know, how you say the Shravana Dasa means understanding that form, Varna Dasa, I mean the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, the mood of the gopis. Then the Varna Dasa, the specifics of the particular sarup that you have. Then you have to be absorbed in of Krishna. Because you're not going to get to use it directly in Krishna's service until you come to Samadhi in Smarana Dasa. Right? So this whole point that we say, always remember Krishna, never forget, that's what makes the difference on whether you can enter the pastimes or not. Not something else. Not how much you know and exactly, okay, it's 8:15, so Radharani would be doing this and Mother Jashoda's kitchen right now. None of that matters. It's a matter of remembering Krishna that's favorable without karma jnana. that's going to get you to Shravana, you know, to Samadhi and Shravana Dasa. That will bring you to Purva Rag. That will bring you to Apan Dasa. Does that make sense? It's a science. So you can say, yes, it's according to the mood and all that, and the feelings and all that, but still, feelings move in a science. If they didn't, why is there nectar devotion? Why do we say there's five main rasas, then there's the seven secondary? You know, then, you know, why is there the science? That you have the rati, then that's, so that's the stai bhava, when that's mixed with the vibhava. Then that's when you start, then you get the anubhavas and these others. That's where rasa is tasted. It's a science. But the point is this is a science of something that is experienced due to Krishna's mercy because of the practice of devotion. Right? So by the grace of Guru and Krishna, then one experiences this. So it's a straightforward science. It's going to be later. So one can say, oh no, but then it takes all the fun out of it. But then what fun are you having? If by knowing this it takes out the fun, then the question comes up, what's the nature of this fun you're having? You know, it's just like if you tell the child, okay, you study nicely and all that and get good grades, then when you grow up, then you can get into, you know, this study program or that study program and like that, and then you can do so many things. Right? Or, let's say, you know, the kid wants to be a fireman, but the point is firemen have to be healthy and strong, so unless they, you know, eat their, you know, how you say, vegetables and do go to sleep on time and all that, they're not going to be healthy enough to be a fireman. So, therefore, with that knowledge, they very happily do things in the position they're in. They don't say, I'm a fireman now. Does that make sense? They may meditate on firemen, but... does that make sense? Yes.
Now the first step in the science is appreciation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So that's why you first have to clear any doubt. So anartas means if we have understandings other than what Rupa Goswami is giving, there's a problem. Because Rupa Goswami is the authority and we're following him. Otherwise, if you're not following him, what are you going to do in Braj? You know, if you're on your own, who cares? Right? Because then what group are you in? It's just wherever one, you know, you like. So now is anybody going to take you seriously? Right? Radharani's group means you're serving Radharani. Means then we're serving under Rupa Goswami. And so if you're not in that, then, you know, then you have to work in somewhere else. And so then other groups are going to have their leaders. And so if you're just a free wheel, just whatever you feel like, whenever you feel like, then who wants to give responsibility? Because then you might do the service, you might not. You might be with them tomorrow, you might not. So as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out, no Brajvasi will take you seriously. So these speculative methods, they won't get you anywhere. You can say, oh, it's just the bhav. Yeah, but it's the bhav as Rupa Goswami says. He even uses the word here, bhav. Right? So, generally speaking, it's not bhav that people are absorbed, is bhav. So bhava means the material world. Yes? Srila Prabhupada, is that okay? Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada, it is said by Sri Rupa Goswami, quote, when one is actually liberated from material contamination, actually, not means that, you know, it's just, you know, it's yeah. He can always remember an eternal devotee in Vrindavan in order to love Krishna in the same capacity. It means he can always remember. So if we're sometimes remembering and generally not, we're not on this platform of actual liberation. Right? But sometimes, so that's good, that's positive, that's a good thing. But know the position, that's all. It's intelligent. If you know where you are, it's better. Right? If I'm in Runagat and think I'm only 2 kilometers from Calcutta, there's a problem. Right? Because then you end up with that big empty space, you know, in between there and Chukta. There's not a lot happening there.
Right? There is a gold train which is dung.
You want to avoid that one. And developing such an attitude, one will always live in Vrindavan, even within his mind. Right? So having that attitude, being absorbed in such a devotee of Vrindavan, then one will always be in Vrindavan. So one has to know that this is the process, but it's not that the process happens right now. It means in this detail. But the process of that we're trying to hear and chant, remember the instructions of Guru and Krishna and the holy name, then we're following this process on our level. Because right now the holy name is a name. When the name becomes form, becomes qualities, becomes pastimes, then this will just automatically be there. It's not a separate thing. It's just like, if you're hungry, do I need to remind you of your favorite preparations? Right? That's all you're thinking about. The hungrier you get, the more specific. Right? You're a little hungry, there's options. As you get more hungry, it starts to narrow down. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. That's why it mentions about the greed. The greed means you want. That's what makes us move forward. We want to advance in Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna seeing that, then he'll reveal. But if it's, if we're working on the manana kind of program, then yeah, it'll happen manana. The purport is that if it is possible, one should go and physically be present at Rajabhumi, Vrindavan, and be engaged always in the service of the Lord, following the devotees in Brajadham, the spiritual realm of Braja. Right? So first, the following devotees means they're always engaged in Krishna service and always surrendered. If it is not possible, however, to be physically present at Vrindavan, one can meditate anywhere upon living in that situation. Wherever he may be, one must always think about life in Brajadham and about following in the footsteps of a particular devotee in the service of the Lord. A devotee who is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, who is constantly engaged in devotional service, right? So is actually advanced, right? Should not manifest himself, even though he has attained perfection. So that means even he's actually advanced and he has attained perfection, you don't see it. It's not manifest. The idea is that he should always continue to act as a neophyte devotee as long as the material body is there. So that's the etiquette. That's what Rupa Goswami is making the point. Right? That's how it functions. Activities in devotional service under regulative principles must be followed even by the pure devotee. But when he realizes his actual position and relationship with the Lord, he can, along with the discharging of regulative service, think within himself of the Lord under the guidance of a particular associate of the Lord and develop his transcendental sentiments in following that associate. So, as long as one is in the body, one's always going to follow the rules like that as if one's a neophyte. Right? And then as one advances, then one can do both at once. Right? Because it's a matter of the mentality. You're doing the service, you can remember Krishna and the associates that are involved in these activities. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So externally, it'll always look as if one's a neophyte. That's the etiquette. That's the thing. That's another thing, the sahajiyas, because they're trying to present themselves as advanced. So then that's a problem. In this connection, we should be careful about the so-called Siddha Pranali. The Siddha Pranali process is followed by a class of men who are not very authorized and who have manufactured their own way of devotional service. They imagine that they can become associates with the Lord simply by thinking of themselves like that. It's just like, the point made in the Tattvasandarbha is that the rabbit can imagine itself an elephant. Does it turn into an elephant? Your cute little rabbit sitting in there in the corner of that, and suddenly it takes up the whole living room and all that? No. It doesn't. It's not how it works. This external behavior is not at all according to the regulative principles. The so-called Siddha Pranali process is followed by the Prakriti Sahajya, a pseudo-sect of so-called Vaishnavas, right? It's the pseudo-sect of so-called Vaishnavas. So it's not even, it's just, it's, you know. In the opinion of Rupa Goswami, such activities are simply disturbances to the standard way of devotional service. Because if it's not according to the scriptures, then you wouldn't be doing it. So yeah. So the so-called Siddha Pranali, because there is no Siddha Pranali process. Because we talk about Siddha Deha, right? Or Siddha Surup. We don't talk about Siddha Pranali. Does that make sense? Yes, no?
Well, they have an argument.
They'll always have an argument. Just like how many arguments do the Mayavadis have? Siddha means perfect, and Deha means form or body. So it means the spiritual body. Yes?
Then the argument is that Surup Damodar Goswami, he gave two paths, one to Raghunath Das, which is internal path, and then to Bhakeshwar Pandit, he gave the external, which is what they call Siddha Pranali, and you get your...
Oh, to?
Bhakeshwar Pandit.
Bhakeshwar Pandit.
And okay. Then he passed it to Gopal Guru Goswami and Dhyanachand Goswami, so they follow that policy, apparently.
Okay.
And then they get that the form, and then by meditating on that form, they become that form.
Yes, but the point is it's the that would be... Who would you give that? It means according to Rupa. It means if they would be following this aspect of Rupa Goswami. So then, where does that point happen?
Where?
Yes.
In time?
Yes. Means at which stage from Shraddha to Prema are they that would actually work?
All.
You know what I'm saying? So it still have to be on the platform of Bhava. Otherwise, it has no meaning. That's it. That would be one aspect. The other aspect is, and that line, what are they going for? What particular forms are they generally going in line with in that line? You know, what rasa? Right?
Huh?
You sure?
That's what they say.
No, that I know of, it's the Cowherd Boys. You know, so they do all kinds of stuff. It's just like you see is. What's his name just ends up? Our Cowherd Boy in Priya Bhagavatamrita? Yeah, he just ends up there, and then right there in Krishna, and they're interacting, and he's right there. So you don't seem to need the training you do of the gopis. Because it's much more subtle and everything like that. So for there, you just show up and Hari Baal, and it works. Because you don't. So there's different things. There can also be even if it works there, but then where are they going to go? What's the mood? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the mood is different. Okay. Yes.
I heard that when we advance, we want to meet the different Vrajavasi and we attach to one of them, and what the person like, everything in the person is right and everything. Temperament, mind and all that, and we begin to self and to remember and to tell and so on.
Yes, but Prabhupada says when you can always remember, means when one is actually liberated from material contamination, he can always remember. So we are not at the point of always remembering. You know, we're generally at the point of, regularly forgetting. You know, so that means we haven't come to the actual liberated state. So this is all meant for there. So even if it is, the other point is, are they following Rupa? You know, is their line following Rupa, or it's got a different, the head's different, so it'll have a different flavor.
Yeah, it's a different head.
Yeah, so we're following Rupa, and so therefore we'll go that. So the Hajis want to do that, or others want to do that. What do we care? It's not our line. We'll always respect if it's a bona fide line. So Haji is, that's why it's their so-called sect of so-called Vaishnavas. You know, so he doesn't even bring it, the one is it's double, negative there, like that. So then in that case, then it's just a different line. We'll respect, but it's not art. You see that there's even devotees that are from Vaikuntha there, and from Ayodhya there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So many pastimes will be there, but it's not ours. So if we're given is, you know, following Rupa Goswami. That's the thing. If you want to do it, then go for that. But then don't claim that this one, you know, we can do like this in this one. No, you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invested and he gave the shakti to Rupa Goswami for preaching. Currently we see the schedule or whatever the program is given by Prabhupada, that works for everyone.
Yes.
Many others, they don't have any, like, on a daily basis, what kind of devotional activities you perform.
Yes.
It's not, like, very solidly fixed.
No. Yes, quite a variety. So that's the point. The founder then makes the line work. But at the same time, as if they're doing that, great. But we're not in that line. We haven't been picked up. We haven't been accepted. We've accepted in this line. So then the standard is that you would focus and practice in your line. Okay. So it's not that it's a higher position. It's a different position. So for us, it doesn't matter. There's individuals. Goloka is very big. Right? So then, and so there's plenty of space for all these different kinds of things, and so people can do. We just get upset when they try to claim that it's all the same or it's better or like that. No, what the founder has given, you know, coming in line with Rupa Goswami, as given by Lord Chaitanya, that's what we follow. And so this is what Rupa's giving, so that's how we do it. Because you also see is that there'll be a difference, like given the example before. Let us say you have an 8-year-old girl. Okay? Now, let us say the teenagers, are they going to be much interested in giving any direction or any time spent with this 8-year-old?
No.
The girls, no. Not at all. Okay. Now, but the married women, will they put in time for this 8-year-old? Plenty of time. And what is the whole point? They're going to train her such a way that when she grows up, then married life will go very nice for her. So they're going to be giving directions that will work for her at that age. So they're going to be talking about all the qualities, the duties, all the sadhana as such, all the forms that will be used, and about the proper attitude. Okay? Now, let us take the teenagers. What are they going to be talking about? They're going to be talking about all the secondary stuff for them that seems interesting, but doesn't necessarily make marriage life work. You understand? And then you get the girls that are engaged, and they're just going to talk about that. So they're not even going to even talk about anybody else. You know what I'm saying? So you end up with the difficulty here is that's why we have to hear from those who are mature, those who are on this platform. It means the ones who are in the rasa, we'll hear from them. Because they know how to get you there. And others in their position, it may work for them, but that doesn't mean it works for everybody else. You know? Is that something? Yeah.
No. You see that, for example, for ourselves, in one sense, we did not select to be part of Prabhupada's movement. In one sense.
And what's the other sense?
It seems that it is more the founder Acharya is picking us.
Means Krishnadas Goviraj Goswami, we'll get to it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think in his introduction he brings out that when the living entity is interested in God consciousness, you know, by somehow or another. That's why it says somehow or another he gets interested. Then Super Soul, seeing this, puts him in contact with the bona fide devotees. Because if they have some interest but it's not actually sincere, then they'll meet all these other people that have all so much to say. And so then, yes, it's where we have some interest, then Super Soul arranges we meet the devotees. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's just that's there. Krishna knows who to put us in contact with. Right? Because we're coming in contact with the Vaishnava life. People are still coming in contact with the Shris and the Madras and all this. Like that. You know, the same people, there are people that are from Sri and Madra families that they only came across, you know, really serious Krishna and coming in contact with ISKCON. Otherwise, before that, you know, they grew up there, but they didn't take it seriously. And there's others that grew up there and take it seriously. So it's just where they're supposed to go, where they contact with. Like that. So it doesn't matter. It's that wherever you are, that's the line that you work within. You can say, oh, that's restricting, but restricting what? How is it, you know, what would it be restricting? You can say, oh, my choice, but what is your choice? You know, choice was this kind of Maya or that kind of Maya. You know, there was no choice of the spiritual, so that's been added. That's why it's called Krishna's causeless mercy. We haven't done anything to deserve it. But because that's what the material was for, then Krishna, whenever there is an opportunity, he gives it. And so then if you can stick in a line, then that's taken seriously. Otherwise, if you jump lines, no one can take you seriously. It's just like this. Let us say we're going to go find out some information about a different group. Or you're going to go give a message, you know, that's very private. Or you're going to go give a message that's actually a distraction. Who gets that job? Just anybody or the most confidential? Okay, but if you're one that jumps ship every time that you know the wind changes, are you ever going to get that? No. Doesn't mean that you can't go and down to the Jamuna and get water. You know, because it's a very nice service. But even then, the quality of it and the consciousness of it, they're going to be worried. So that who knows what one will get. And so one will have to be purified of this. And one can only enter into the pastimes if you're following in particular group. So this tendency to move around in groups has to be removed before you get to the point of being able to take part in the pastimes. So why not get rid of it now? You know, just like pride. If you have pride, the gopis, they started the rasa dance, Krishna left because of pride. We're told be prideless. So all the things necessary to take part in Krishna's pastimes, we're already told now. So why not practice now? Why not apply it now? So being having that loyalty, that's very important. Krishna is very loyal to his devotees, so if we're not loyal to the devotees, what's common between us and Krishna? Good. In the opinion of Rupa Goswami, such activities are simply disturbances to the standard way of devotional service. Therefore, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidimbina. It has to be within these rules. It's described. The Vedas are Krishna's breathing. Right? So that means they're non-different from him. That makes sense? Yeah, so he acts according to the Veda. It's one of his 64 qualities. He acts according to the Veda. So our acting according to the Veda is the natural form to use. But we're not doing that simply because of the rule. We're doing it because it pleases Krishna. That's the difference between Rag and Vaidhi. Sadhana is sadhana. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Sadhaka Rupa refers to the physical body of the practitioner. Siddha Rupa refers to the body which is suitable for one's desired service, and which has been developed by internal meditation. Footnote 19. The Siddha Rupa is given by a guru on the path of Rag Bhakti. When he sees the qualification for Raghunuga Bhakti and a particular incarnation in a particular disciple. Theoretically, this would be a form of an associate of one of the prominent devotees in Braja with a specific rasa, Dasya Sakya Vatsalya and Madhurya. Along with the form, specific dress and service for Krishna throughout the day would be given. However, forms of manjaris, assistance of the Shakyas of Radha, seem to be the most prominent forms given. The details are given in works of Gopal Guru Goswami, Dhyanachandra Goswami, and Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. So in this, we're going to listen to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur. Right? Because he's going to give the comments that his is coming up now. Because as we said, Gopal Guru and Dhyanachandra, the principles will be the same. But specific detail, there'll always be flavors. It's just like the principles of cooking in Bengali cooking and Gujarati cooking are exactly the same. But the detail is different. So you call it different. It comes out with a different flavor. So we want the flavor that Rupa gives. So that will come to us through Vishwanath. Does that make sense? But it's not that the principles that are there are going to be any different. Is that something? Okay. We also have to remember is that for many of these others is that we see, like, let's say with the Jiva Dharma. Okay? You have the Babaji's there in Surup Ganj. Right? Vaishnav Das comes along. Right? The whole point is he was in Varanasi. He met the devotees. He's come to Navadvipa. Does that make sense? Yeah. Then we see also in Prema Pradeep, right? Also, the same thing. I think they're from Calcutta or something. They came to the devotees. So what are we talking about here? People who already have some knowledge about the Shastras, the lifestyle, the sadhana, they're practicing these things, and now they're looking for specific, answers to questions that aren't being answered by the other Hindus around them. And so then they search out, they are searching out guru and stuff like that. So we're already starting off at a much more advanced level. Religiously, basically, they're already following. Vaishnav Das was following all the religious principles that we follow. For 20, 30, 40 years before he even came to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Right. So then, by that association, now they understand what's the essence. Then they get somewhere. We see quick results. Like that. But now, let us say, you're walking down the street in the Lower East Side. So the point is, are they going to Vrindavan to Radha Damodar Temple? Or Radha Damodar Temple came to them? Yeah. So they don't even know what they're dealing with. Amusing anecdote that the devotees that Prabhupada would cook, all the devotees would come upstairs, take prasad, and then after taking prasad, they'd all go back downstairs to the storefront. And somebody was there because they were new, they didn't know what was going on, so they just ended up sitting there. Everyone else left, so they didn't know what happened. So they noticed Prabhupada is going around himself and picking everything up, taking it to the kitchen, washing it, cleaning. So then he asked, do you need some help? And so he helped in everything. So he would have, because normally Prabhupada stayed upstairs and the devotees were downstairs. And then Prabhupada would come down for the classes in the morning and evening. And the rest of the day generally he was upstairs. They would just see him when they went to lunch. So they didn't think about what goes on in, you know, Prabhupada's apartment. So then this devotee, you know, and if they went up and got to talk to Prabhupada, that was a big thing, you know, Brahmananda goes, you know, like this, like that. So here's somebody who comes along, brand new, and then he's up there for who knows how long, but, you know, to clean up, wash dishes, you know, make everything back to normal. So he, at least, you know, 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half. So when he comes downstairs, it's like, okay, what were you doing? That's one. Two, you have to understand this is New York. They have to know what you're doing. It's no question of not knowing. And details. You know, that's like, you know. Right? So then they're going to find out, oh, Prabhupada washes the pot, you can help do that service and this, and then they started. So it's by Krishna's arrangement that somebody didn't know what was going on, so then he found out, and then the other devotees then learned, because Prabhupada was not saying anything. You know, or going to the, using the shower, there's one little bathroom. And so then they used to stand in line to go in the bathroom, and Prabhupada got in the line with the devotees. No one thought, you know, it's just everyone's getting in the line, so no one's thinking that, you know, Prabhupada's a guru, maybe he should go first. It just didn't come across their mind. So then later on, these things come up, and then it's there. You know, like when the devotees came to India, then they started seeing things, then they started practicing, and, you know, so many things Prabhupada had given. But when it came to things like himself, that they had to actually learn by coming to India. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes they see in places, you know, what things were done and that, and they start to integrate. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you're going to see a difference. So here it is, then, in Rupa's line, they're going out, they're preaching, they're going out and picking people up off the street. Right? And so then, you know, it's like this. Let us even just say this aspect of appreciating this. Then that means you have to have given up all the material attachments. But if we're attached to, you know, the modern kind of facility and lifestyle and values and politics and economics, that's going to be a stumbling block to giving up all attachments. But the Sahajiyas will make it very easy. Anybody can come. You know, especially if you have money. Yeah. Give up all the values? Give up all. So, just let me give an example. When we give up meat eating, does that mean we give up food? When we give up a non-vegetarian diet, does that mean we give up food? Yes. So it means what's not favorable for Krishna consciousness. Because the point is, we take Krishna prasad, things in connection with Krishna. Krishna doesn't eat non-vegetarian things. That's why we don't eat it. Right? So Prabhupada points out, we're not technically vegetarian. That's just the term that people know. We're technically Krishnatarian. We eat what Krishna eats. Right? I guess that solves the vegan-vegetarian conflict. We're neither, we're Krishnatarian. Okay. Yes. Okay. Does that make sense? So, we follow that line, because they have a specific way of dealing and all that. And the others is that, yes, people come, but they're much more qualified when they come in first. You know, you see is that, you know, then with the other Babaji at Srivasangam, right, in the Jaiva Dharma. Then those Brahmins from Belpakur, right, so they're worshipping Madan Gopal or Madan? Madan Gopal up there. You know, so they're in that line. They've been doing their Brahmins, their Vaishnava. But then the emphasis is on the karma aspect of it. So they tend to be, you know, it's mixed with karma a lot. But then when they're not satisfied in that, then asking around, they find out that these devotees at Srivasangam, they know what they're talking about. So then he goes there, hears from them. Then he hears about pure devotional service. In other words, they were doing devotional service. Now they take up and they're doing pure devotional service. So that's where they're starting. That's the entry. What do you call that? You know, like when you're buying something and it has different levels and there's the entry point. No. Sorry. No. It means, let's say you want to buy a particular item, but it's expensive. So they have a cheaper form of it, but that's just where you enter at. And then from there, you can get all the custom things and get for it, you know what I'm saying? So they're already, the entry point they're coming in is already practicing devotional service. Then they come across pure devotion. Or they're already practicing very nicely the Vedic culture and the philosophy and Sanskrit and all the... In other words, they're already practicing the Vedic activities, knowledge and activities, but they haven't understood pure devotional service. Then they're coming in. So these other lines, maybe they deal with that, and so then it's not a problem. Very quickly they mature, and so then they come to this platform. Because we see, those devotees are there, and then next thing you know is they're in Navadvip. I mean, they're in Puri. Right? You know, it didn't take that long. You know, Vaishnav Das met the devotees. He saw them, didn't know what they were, just people could say, oh, these are the Wallas from in Navadvip. So he came to Navadvip to find out. Right? And so then he advances from there. So yes, you do have these, but then in our line, it's more the Jagai Madai kind of process. Going along, you know. In other words, they're catching the people that walk up to them at the street. We're going down in the gutter and, you know, taking off the grill and then looking down there, you know. Hello! Is that... Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. So that was... That was 19. Where was 19? Oh, that was up there. Okay. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. One performs service with Sarvaka Rupa, the present body, and with the Siddha Rupa, the body which is suitable for serving Krishna, Braja Krishna, a particular type of Rati or Bhava. Notice they say Siddha Rupa or Siddha Deha. They don't say Surup Siddhi. That comes at Apandas. Right? So Siddha Rupa, that's what you're dealing in the first three. Right? Shravana, Varna, and Smarana. Because you have the form, but it hasn't come to its perfection. It's a perfect form, but it hasn't come to perfection. Right?
It could be
mental, it could be actual. It means for us it doesn't matter which way you're looking at it. Point is it'll only be mental if you're on the platform of Bhava. You only have this as a... Right? Means you can get that form if you leave the body thinking of Krishna. You may be at a lower level of realization and have your spiritual form, but you're still going to have to elevate your consciousness to the point where you can be part of the pastime. Then it becomes Siddha Suru. Right? Okay. No?
I think for many devotees, this part of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is not that relevant, because the idea we got from day on, just remember Krishna at the time of death, you go there and then you deal with this, then later. So
yeah,
nobody
you can.
Worries about.
But the point is, it's true. But at the same time, you have the point about advancing in devotional service. And so if one advances more quickly, then within the body one's already come to that platform of Bhava, then this has relevance. But if one hasn't, you remember Krishna at the time of death, then you go there and you'll continue with that there. But the point is one should understand what they're talking about. Otherwise, then so many things become introduced.
Right.
You know, unnecessary things. Because you know, devotees like to go and check out things here and there. If it's anything, you know, interesting, you know, then they go and check it out. Problem is then you end up with stuff that is not actually very interesting. It may seem interesting, but it's not, you know. So then that becomes a problem, because then the element of pure devotional service becomes clouded by certain secondary externals. And we take it that this external is superior to that external. You know, and then when you get into that, then the so-called, you know, meditation, all this kind of thing becomes superior to then the preaching movement. But Lord Chaitanya used to do all three. He would preach, he would cultivate devotees, and he would cultivate his own taste. So it all goes together. That's the movement. But the sahajiyas just take the upper end, and they leave out the other thing. You know what I'm saying? So, and then they make up their own rules. Right? It's just like if everybody's equal in a Paramahamsa, then when the Radhakund Babaji sit down for prasad, you could go sit next to them. Right? But what would happen if you went and sat down next to them? There'd be a riot. They've made their own rules. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So, one performs service with the sadhaka rupa, the present body, and with the siddha rupa, the body which is suitable for serving Braja Krishna, the particular type of rati or bhava one desires, and which appears through inner contemplation. It means this desires means it becomes revealed. Like that. Does that make sense? There's so many different things there, and then you see as you get purified, you have a taste in a particular area. So it's according to taste. But the taste means you have to be purified to actually have the taste. That's why the example is given of jaundice and rock candy. Rock candy is the sweetest, you know, the most pure of all the forms of sugar. But at the same time, it's the most subtlest. But you can only appreciate it if you don't have jaundice. But by taking it, then you get, so by chanting and all these things, so it's recommended what aspects of transcendence you take part in, and so as you become purified, then you start to get the taste. But it's not just, oh, this sounds good, or, oh, that sounds more important, or that sounds, you know, because I've heard, you know, dasana, dasana, das, and he says, you're farther back. But I don't want to be in the back, I want to be right at the front. But then it's a matter of prestige, or unless I'm doing it, I don't get the benefit. Is that the thing? You know, so that kind of attitude is that it's a matter of, but you know, what about relationships? What about all those devotees that you're walking ahead of? You don't have a relationship with them. It's just a matter of, I want to be at the front, and you know, that's what you do here in the material world. Yeah. Right? But the point is, there's, you have these relationships, and since it's you call it transparent. Then what they see, if you're surrendered to them, what they see, you see. And so no matter how far back you are, you see, you're seeing, your vision is that of the front. Right? Because the point is if we stand in the front, we won't see a whole lot. Right? If the acharyas stand in the front, then we see so much more. Because they have greater affection. So what they're going to see is going to be of greater quality and more pleasing to Krishna than what we're going to see. Yeah.
Like at the big table, there are many persons, they ask the Bhagavad Gita Chota without the comments of their Prabhupada. And why you don't have the small Bhagavad Gita? And then because Mr. Mayapur went to give the Bhagavad Gita with the comment of the Acharya.
Yes.
Because these are the vision of the Acharya, we cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita. We
yes.
Speculate on the Sutta.
Yes, yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes, yes. Good.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Janyatai Gaura Pringalandini.